Welcome back to Transform, a podcast highlighting the people and ideas shaping the future of senior living. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. On today's episode, I spoke with Silverado CEO designate Wayne Sanner. The Irvine, California-based senior living provider operates 27 communities in 10 states. In 2026, Silverado is continuing to evolve its operating model with new technology as the company prepares for future growth. Silverado's Nexus Memory Care program, which provides early-stage dementia care, continues to grow as the company emphasizes leadership development in 2026. This year is all about being bold in staffing, programming, and engagement for Silverado to adapt memory care for the next generation of senior living residents.
I think that we have to be very bold and double down on leadership investment.
Now, here's my interview with Silverado CEO designate Wayne Sanner. Welcome back to Transform. Wayne, thanks so much for joining us.
Austin, thanks for having me today.
Yeah, very excited to have this conversation with you and to dive into what Silverado has been working on for some time, but also maybe some new things as well as we look at 2026. So excited to have this conversation with you today. First off, for those who might not be familiar with Silverado, I find that hard that there would be some folks who may not be familiar, but we know there are folks joining the industry every day that are new to the space. So would you be able to outline the current portfolio for Silverado and then some of those areas of expertise, if you will?
Sure, Austin. So Silverado Senior Living, we are a standalone memory care provider, and we operate 27 locations in 10 states from coast to coast. We have a pretty sizable presence in the state of California, decent sized presence in Texas, and then really a smattering throughout the remainder of the United States and the Northwest, Midwest, in mid-Atlantic regions. We also have a hospice line of business where we have 8 locations in fairly large metropolitan areas in Southern California, 4 in Southern California, 4 in Texas. And we also have a palliative supportive care line of business in Southern California.
Well, I appreciate the rundown, and we know that exposure in California is quite extensive, and I've been there for some time. Great to hear, and excited to learn more. We know that the transition between when you were named CEO designate last year to where we are now, with the transition between longtime CEO Lauren Shook to yourself, I want to take a moment to talk about the transition here, because I think 2026 is a really pivotal year for that, and you've had some good time, I'm sure, to really understand the business model for Silverado. You just want to highlight what the transition has been like, and then moving into this year, kind of what might be different as you take over the reins.
Yeah, I'd love to. I started about 10 months ago, so we're approaching a year. Time has flown by. And it's been a very busy year. Lauren is an icon in the industry. He's a visionary. He's a futurist. And just a plug that he was recently inducted into the OSHA Hall of Fame. And I had the privilege of being there to witness that and celebrate him. It is just a tremendous honor for me to have been selected to be his successor. I think I realized that, obviously, when I was selected and hired. I went through a 6-month interview process. Not too many people interview for 6 months, but I think that goes to show how important of a decision this was for Lauren as a founder, as a co-founder, and also for the organization and for the board of directors. So I knew how important it was and what an honor it was, but now that I've been here 10 months, I am just so grateful and I'm so thrilled with the alignment that Silverado and Lauren and I have in terms of our values and our mission. And so my first 10 months have really just been active out in the field. I have visited every one of our memory care communities, and these were not just kind of, fly-by-night visits. These were in-depth, having an opportunity to tour communities, interact with our associates, meet with families, meet with residents, watch residents in engagement, be a part of that experience, visit all of our hospice office locations, spend a lot of time in our home office just developing relationships, attending, it feels like, countless conferences that we have in the industry. Because for me, while my entire career has been in senior living, it's predominantly been in skilled nursing. And so there's a little bit of a different rhythm and a little bit of a different focus. So you're getting used to the conference schedules and that life as well. And so I've learned just an enormous amount over the past 10 months, both internally within Silverado and also just externally in the senior living, assisted living, memory care space. So it's been an exciting, busy 10 months. And I know that it will continue to be a very exciting and busy 1 to 2 years ahead as we make this transition later this year.
Yeah, and we know that especially coming from a different part of the healthcare continuum can be a bit, I think you learn new things in any aspect of the continuum that you're on. And we know that there are some, I think, macro trends that we'll chat about here later. But especially, I mean, coming from skilled nursing and generally about what we're seeing in senior living, it seems like day in and day out, I'm having folks tell us about rising acuity and how acuity is really shaping a lot of the operational decisions, at least in assisted living and memory care. So yeah. I'm sure you're seeing some themes there as well. So excited to dive in there. I want to highlight, though, 2026 from an operations perspective for you, for Silverado. Just this year, do you want to highlight any of the priorities in operations, kind of some of the areas you really dig into? I know there's always a lot to focus on, but do you have anything you got your sights set on?
Yeah, 2026 is shaping up to be a very exciting, busy year for us at Silverado. We hit the ground running really from January 1st, and so, you know, I would say there's a couple of key priorities for us. One, obviously, the official CEO transition. That's a big change management objective for us. And we put a lot of thought and time into that. We have an upcoming annual leadership conference in the organization in early March, and that will certainly be a topic of discussion. You know, I think internally, it's been important for us and externally to message that Lauren, after 30 years as a co-founder and CEO, is not disappearing by any stretch. He's going to continue to have a very active role in Silverado as an executive chairman of the board on a full-time basis. So, you know, he's still going to be very, very present and helpful to me and the Silverado team in transition. So that's obviously a big priority for us, right? Even though it's been out there, we've put it out there for a year. It's one thing to say it, it's another thing in people's minds and hearts when it actually happens. So that's a key priority. I would say another operational priority for us, kind of along that same vein, is just continued leadership development. This space continues to offer its dynamic complexities and changes. And so we continue to invest in our leaders in a variety of different internal programs to shore up our leadership, to grow leaders from within. And that's a big focus for us. And then I would say probably two other quick ones. Continue to drive occupancy and rate and overall valuation of Silverado. We're trending very well. We had a very strong fourth quarter. We're having a very strong start to the first quarter of the year. You know, I think there's some demographic and industry tailwinds that are attributing to that as well, along with just our daily strong execution operationally, but that will be a focus. And then we're always about innovation, and we're looking at those opportunities. Whether it's memory air, whether it's AI, and what that looks like for us here in the coming year and years ahead, those would be what I would target as our key operational focuses right now.
Yeah, well, I know there's a lot to execute on, but all those areas, I think we've heard similar things across the industry too, especially on that leadership development point. It's really encouraging, I think, to hear that so many organizations are thinking internally about how they can develop kind of tomorrow's leaders. And I think maybe the transition of yourself with Lauren is kind of emblematic of that, of being intentional about really having smooth transitions. And that starts all the way at the very beginning when people start their career. With Silverado, I'm sure. So really encouraging to hear that as well.
Yeah, and Austin, I would add to that just on leadership development. It's a definite passion of mine as a leader. It's just been a focus I've had throughout my career. I've been blessed to be surrounded by great leaders that have mentored me. I pursued my doctorate a few years ago in business administration, and I did a lot of research and focus on servant leadership. And so it's always forefront and center in my mind and my heart. And I'm excited to bring that to Silverado because, again, the values are aligned. The servant leadership values of Silverado are aligned. And I think that will serve us well into the future. We're doing some exciting things with some university partnerships right now around leadership. We're actively working with the University of Southern California, Davis School of Gerontology, looking at the possibility of dementia certification programs. Obviously, that program is a top program in the country and in the world. And we're local, and we have those ties and those connections, and we're very proud of that. We're very excited about where that will lead us into the future.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be following that closely. Just on the partnerships, we know that that's something as well that a lot of operators are starting to, I think, come out of the pandemic shell and really look around to say, hey, these are folks we can partner with to really help improve the model and improve the service and care that we provide. So that's encouraging as well. Now I want to get into one of the areas we brought you on here is to talk about innovation. We know that Silverado is a leader there. Can you update us on the company's innovation efforts just as it relates to Memory Air and then also the Nexus program? I know there was an announcement this year about Memory Air, which we're really excited to chat about, but then also give us an update on Nexus, if you don't mind.
Sure. Memory Air is extremely exciting. Memory Air is something that's been in the works for several years, and there's a lot of literature out there on Memory Air right now that viewers can look up, but Dr. Michael Leone at the University of California, Irvine, has been doing this research along with members of his team for several years. We've stayed connected with Dr. Leone, and now, you know, it's obviously coming to the forefront. And so essentially, Memory Air is a well-researched, well-studied device that sits on a nightstand and emits different pleasant scents to stimulate brain activity in the hippocampus. And there's 40 different scents, and it cycles twice a night. And it's a very easy setup. It's a very sleek looking product that is very quiet. And you put it, you know, 3 to 4 feet from your nose, and you get these scents. And the research is fascinating in terms of baseline memory impairment, and 200% improvement has been seen through this device. We have our executive team is all excited about having the device. Many of our associates are investing in the device, family members, and this is just within what we call Silverado Nation. There's a lot of excitement outside of even our space. There's a lot of studies around autism,
right,
for kids. There's a lot of studies just around deep sleep. And so we invested in 350 units, and we have possession of those. We're in the process of actively rolling those out so that our residents and families can have access to this great innovation. And our staff, and we have those available. And what we're going to do is partner with Memory Air, looking at baseline of our own residents, and kind of look at that 6 months from now, look at the data, look at the outcomes, because we love evidence-based research and outcomes, and we'll share our findings in a white paper. So very exciting.
Yeah, we'll definitely be on the lookout for that. And then more broadly, you want to highlight what the next 12 months could look like for the Nexus program too, because I assume there's probably a lot of, as you bring some of these new elements of innovation in, I'm sure there's some changes that come along with Nexus. You just give us an update on the Nexus program and kind of what you can see ahead for the next year or so.
Sure. Nexus is always evolving. It's our connection program and early stage onset dementia, where we have pillars and key programming. And so we're always looking at Nexus. I think some of our big focuses for Nexus in the next 12 months is a tremendous focus on our residents in volunteering. We have just amazing numbers regarding volunteering and having meaning and purpose for our residents in the greater community. And so we continue to track those hours and that involvement. We're going to continue to do that. You know, I think a couple of other interesting areas around Nexus. One is Lauren, myself, and Kim Buttram, our Senior Vice President of Clinical Services, recently attended a summit on concussion and CTE. And it was during Super Bowl week, and we were up in San Francisco. And we've always had a connection with the NFL and just that whole world of concussion and CTE. It was a really powerful conference. And just a lot of leading experts talking about concussion and CTE and where that is and the stigma around it, and that kind of like when you think about mental health and the stigma around mental health, there's definitely a stigma around concussion and CTE. And but I think that's starting to break up a little bit, that people are willing to share their stories and the challenges. And so we want to be in that space. We like serving in that space. Because there's a lot of unmet needs. And a lot of that is early stage. And so, you know, I think as we look at our strategic plan, that's an area not just for Nexus, but organizationally where we do have a presence, but we want to expand that focus and that presence as well. And it's not just football, Austin. I mean, it's really, you think about a lot of contact sports. They talked about soccer. They talked about hockey. They talked about mixed martial arts. They talked obviously about the military and right. Combat. And so there's a whole world of opportunity there and unmet needs that based on our expertise and our passion, I feel like we can play well in that space.
Wow, that's very exciting, and I'd love to connect offline to learn a little bit more about that and maybe for potential future coverage, because I think there's so many, even outside of athletics, I think even there are some other industries too where you have folks that are really putting their bodies on the line in terms of what they have to do in terms of their daily routines. So very interesting there. I love learning these things from as I have these conversations with operators. It's what really I think invigorates and brings a lot of new ideas forward. So that's very exciting, and this kind of leads to my next question. You kind of already answered it for me, but where do you see the biggest opportunities for future innovation in memory care? I know you just kind of touted one there. That's really interesting in terms of that early detection stage. But are there any other areas you're watching? Any trends you're really paying attention to just as it relates to innovation? Because we've really seen a lot of, especially in the last 2 years, as some of the pandemic challenges have really faded into the background and become pretty standard operating procedure, operators are really starting to focus on things that they do well or look at things that they want to be better at. And so when I ask you just kind of what you see on the future of innovation, it can be as general as trends you're just interested in or things you guys are really trying to execute on. What are you really watching just as it relates to the future of memory care?
I think, as you pointed out, Austin, definitely early detection and predictive diagnostics is future innovation trend that we want to continue to be at the forefront, be early adopters as appropriate, keep our eyes on. We certainly are in the treatment business. We pray for and seek and desire a cure, and we'll continue to support those efforts. But, you know, in the meantime, we want to treat those and give hope to those that are struggling with memory impairment through their entire family ecosystem. And so the earlier we can detect, the earlier we can have predictive diagnostics, the better that we can intervene and perhaps slow down the progression of the disease, provide that hope, provide that peace of mind for the person inflicted with it, but also the families and the friends and downstream effect. So that would be one area. I think another key area that many operators are very invested in, and we are as well, is just lifestyle-based interventions and what types of innovations are coming forth in that world that are non-pharmacological and that are really benefiting the holistic person and their well-being. And, you know, then obviously the big buzzword around AI, can't avoid that. It's very exciting. The amount and the speed of progression around AI is really mind-blowing. And so there's a lot going on in that space. We hear things like robotic companions and voice-activated AI tools. And, you know, we certainly want to stay on the forefront of all of those technologies. I will say kind of the bias and the selfish part of it for us and Silverado and in memory care is we're going to look at that with a little bit of skepticism because we're so passionate about the human touch and the human dynamic that while we want to invest in areas where it can aid and benefit residents, we never want to lose our human touch, our human dignity. And so, you know, that's always at the forefront and the heart of our conversations, of our AI task force committee, and even when we partner with other vendors, I mean, that's another key point too, is our partners. We talk a lot about where they're at on their AI platform, whether we're considering someone new or whether it's someone we have an existing relationship with. And then part of that discussion is just rooted around our core values around purpose and connection and human touch and making sure that it makes sense.
Yeah, and I think we'll all be paying attention to, as operators look to integrate AI, what that looks like into their models, especially on the technology side, because I've heard a lot of folks tell me that they're really looking to use AI in a way that's supportive for staff and really help make their jobs easier. So I really hope that continues to be true, and we'll see what that plays out in this year and then also in the years ahead. Last year, when we had connected with you, I think you had spoke with SHN editor Tim Regan on this, but you had mentioned about the need for memory care providers to be bold. I want to get your kind of unpack that statement that you had made, because I really agree with it. What areas do you think bold approaches are needed in more broadly, maybe not just in memory care, but maybe even in senior living? Do you want to just highlight that comment you had made and unpack it for us in terms of what you see ahead and had some time to digest that one and really think about what being bold means?
It's so funny. I love that question. So thank you for that question.
Yeah.
What made me really think on that question is I do remember making that statement very early on, and probably didn't even know what I meant at that time because I was so new.
Sure.
But it's interesting. I had forgotten about that. And I was talking with my wife, and you know, a lot of people do New Year's resolutions, and that's great. And we always have a word for the year, and my word for the year was bold. And I had forgotten about that statement, and so I started out this new year with this personal word and conviction. We do it with our kids too.
That's awesome.
my word was bold. And so then it comes full circle, and I really thought about it. And so I would say for memory care providers, when I think of the word bold, I think of a couple areas. And we've touched on this already, but one is we need to be bold in investing in leadership. And all we're going to see in the coming years is this rush of demand, and it's here now.
Right.
And I do think that new development will pick up, but I think it's going to be slow. The economics and the trends, and I'm sure a lot of folks that you've covered have said the same thing. And so it's going to put increasing demand on supply that already exists. There will be new development. There will be an explosion of growth in this space, and memory care and senior care over the next 5 to 10 years. And with the advancements in technology, with the just advancements and sophistication of our customers, both those that are receiving care and their families, you've got digital natives coming up as consumers for their parents. We're going to get even past the Gen Xers like myself and get to millennials and Gen Zs that are actually going to be shopping. We have to have very invested, talented leaders that are adaptable to change, that are not afraid, that are willing to learn, to be lifelong learners in the process, that are adept at developing staff and giving them opportunities to thrive and live meaningful careers and meaningful lives. And that is very, very complicated.
Yeah.
So I think that we have to be very bold and double down on leadership investment. I think another area, again, along those same lines, is just around what I'll call engagement and programming. We've invested a lot in that in terms of us at Silverado, but we can't let up. Our customers, as they continue to age in the lives that they've lived, it is so important that there's a phrase that I've used a lot in the last year that I've challenged our teams with at Silverado, and it's very simple. It's dream big, act big, and love big. And so when we think about our residents, I want us to dream big in terms of the possibilities, regardless of their memory impairment. What can they do? We've taken residents within the past year from California to Las Vegas to have a day in Las Vegas to pair up with our Red Rock community in Las Vegas and a group of residents from Newport Mesa in Southern California, and they come together and they have a fun day. That's dreaming big. That's not just staying within our space and getting residents on an airplane and, you know, taking a Southwest flight over there and watching their faces light up and living life and enjoying life. That's dreaming big. It's obviously acting big. It's taking the action to do that. It's one thing to say you're going to do it.
Of course.
Another thing to do it. And then just love big. We have a core operating philosophy at Silverado that's love is greater than fear. And I love that philosophy. We're not afraid as a for-profit provider to use the word love at Silverado. We believe that's our connection with our residents, with our families, with each other. And so I think it's really important that we are bold enough to love, that we're bold enough to allow that to happen, to create space for that, and to watch what happens when we permit that for happening for people. So dream big, act big, love big, bold leadership investment, bold engagement in programming, That's what's on my heart today.
No, I love those priorities, and that seems like really fits into, I think, the culture that Silverado has, just in my few years of reporting on it. So excited to watch that continue to unfold. Wayne, just in the last few minutes we have left here, I want to get your thoughts on potential growth for Silverado in 2026. Anything you want to forecast? Anything you can highlight? I know sometimes things around acquisition can be a bit fluid until you can make an announcement. But in terms of what you see ahead for future growth for Silverado in 2026, you just want to comment there?
Very, very excited to answer that question and appreciate that question, Austin. Yeah, 2026 is going to be year of growth for Silverado. We've gone through a few years of not being in that space. COVID obviously playing a big part of that. The Los Angeles District Attorney case is behind us, and we prevailed, Lauren and Kim and Silverado as a whole, which was great for our industry, and justice prevailed. So we are in a very, very optimistic, good trajectory heading into 2026. So we are looking at definitely 1 to 2 acquisition growths this year. One will be pretty imminent. We'll probably be talking again in the near future, as you stated very well, as you know, covering this space for many years, with non-disclosure agreements and just the timing, things can happen. But we have something that's very imminent. It'll be in a new market for us. And so that's exciting. It'll be outside the state of California, and we are looking for those opportunities. So that is definitely in the works. We anticipate another one that we're pretty far along on, that I would project will be mid-year. Okay. That'll be another acquisition, not a new development. It will also be outside of California. So we're definitely looking at two promising acquisitions, turnaround situations, conversions for us, which are really a wheelhouse and an expertise that we're excited about. And then we've been very open about new development. We have entitlement in San Jose, California. Development takes a long time, as you know.
Yeah, especially in California.
It's a long process. And so this started many years ago, but we do have entitlement. We are making progress on securing financing. So we're still a few years out, you know, probably from opening a door. But nonetheless, that is definitely in motion with positive trajectory. And so, Austin, for us, it's about owning what we operate. That's our modus operandi today. And so with that takes a little bit of patience. You're looking for the right opportunities, the right deals. Some of them are off market. We're very active in all of that and excited about the opportunities that we have in front of us. And so we are definitely looking to grow. We are going to grow in 26. We'll continue to look to grow in 2027. As we get into the later part of 2026, we'll look at some hospice growth opportunities. We're focused in the first half of this year, just continuing to stabilize what we currently operate. But we do like to be in the hospice and palliative care space, particularly where we have community presence. And so as we grow in communities, we're also going to look at appropriate growth opportunities in hospice and palliative as well.
Well, it's very exciting, and we'll be definitely watching along to see what that growth looks like. And generally, just last question here, I want to get your outlook for what you see ahead, just generally for the industry, and maybe if you want to focus on memory care, that's fine, but totally fine if you want to zoom out all the way and talk about just broadly about what you see across the industry for 2026. What's your outlook? What are you paying attention to?
Yeah, you've probably heard some of this rhetoric as well. I went to the ASHA conference in Phoenix several weeks ago. I was at the Interface conference this week in Los Angeles. everywhere I go, and again, coming out of the skilled nursing space and into more of the senior housing, senior living space, there is definitely a feeling of excitement, of optimism that I'm sensing in terms of presentations and individual conversations, and really for good reason. I think that the demand wave is here that we've been talking about for so long and anticipating. Occupancy will continue to rise. There's tight supply. I think, as I mentioned, new development, we'll see more of it this year. I think that will continue to accelerate unless the economy doesn't act in our favor. But those trends seem to be a little more encouraging regarding inflation. I think there was a report that came out even this morning around inflation, that's really starting to slow down. Interest rates coming down, available capital. So these are all very favorable trends. You know, I think that the flip side of that, of course, is you can have those tailwinds, but you also have to staff it. And so, you know, I will say that today, compared to maybe when I was interviewed, I don't know, middle of last year, that feels a little bit better as well. But those dynamics ebb and flow.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Staffing's always going to be there. And, you know, that's something that you just have to accept as an operator. And in order to combat the ebbs and flows, you have to create a great culture and provide great wages and good benefits and retain the great staff that you have. And you can generally weather those trends. So I see that in the future. And then obviously just an explosion of AI in the coming years, and what that means just and how we operate, how we seek new consumers, how we become more efficient. Those to me are the key trends right now.
Most definitely. Well, Wayne, thanks so much for joining us here on Transform. I've really enjoyed our conversation today.
Me too, Austin. Thank you so much.
That does it for this episode of Transform. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. Thanks for listening.